Hello and welcome to my podcast. It's Voiceover Matters with Njeri Thorne, usually a weekly podcast looking at all things Kenyans in terms of politics, people, places, policies, and even pirates. But over the next few days, in the backdrop of the release of the BBI report, or the validation of the BBI report and the implementation of the BBI report, I will be actually reading verbatim the BBI report, all 204 pages. Of course, it's a very important document. It's a turning point for us Kenyans. We have an opportunity to fine-tune not just our constitution, but other policies and other legislation to ensure that we have a united Kenya, a prosperous Kenya for everybody. It's a document, as I say, 204 pages. I suspect that most of us won't read all of it, and this is why I've taken it upon myself to go through the laborious process of not only reading it, but recording it for all of you. Ideally, I would want you to listen to every episode because very soon our media houses will be hijacking this very document and bringing onto the studios politicians who will have their own agendas. So they will be picking and cherry picking parts of the BBI document and recommendations to suit their agenda. So those who are against the BBI document or the BBI process, you'll find that they probably pick on the contentious points, focus on those and frame them so that the majority of the audience would be convinced that perhaps the BBI is not the way to go. And then, of course, you'll find the proponents of the BBI, perhaps those who were for the handshake would pick aspects of the BBI recommendations that would amplify and would illustrate how beneficial it would be. So ideally, what we want to do is make sure that everybody or most of us watching or listening to these debates actually have the full picture, and they're not just looking at a frame that has been cherry-picked in order to push a certain agenda. So here we go. I'll just continue from where we left off. And its divisive elections. In the task force report, it was noted that in our rush to adopt and even mimic foreign models, particularly from the democratic West, we have forged a politics that is a contest of us versus them. And we have chosen our us and them on an ethnic basis, especially in competing for the presidency, which is the highest office in Kenyan politics. Lack of inclusivity is the leading contributor to divisive and conflict-causing elections. Kenyans associate the winner-take-all system with the divisive elections and want to end it. Stakeholders engaging with the steering committee affirmed these findings and reiterated that Kenya is yet to attain consistent and satisfactory levels of electoral tranquility. With few exceptions, many elections in the recent past have been bitterly contested, divisive, violent, and generally destructive. Submissions received by the steering committee confirmed the widely held view that divisive elections emerge because of the cutthroat competition for the presidency and other elective political seats. Rather than retain the current presidential system, a majority of Kenyans supported the adoption of a hybrid between the presidential and parliamentary systems. They supported the BBI report's recommendation for a national executive comprising a president, a deputy president, and prime minister. They also spoke up for the adding of two deputy prime ministers. Stakeholders submitted that the new executive structure would be more inclusive, will not generate the same bitterness and tension as we see in the fight for the position of the president. Agreeing with the BBI report's recommendation that the president appoint an MP from the largest party or coalition in the National Assembly after being approved by Parliament to be prime minister. They also wanted the roles and functions of Prime Minister to be clearly defined so as not to create two conflicting centres of power similar to the power-sharing model of the 2008 coalition government. Apart from the creation of the Prime Minister post, Kenyans supported the establishment of the Office of Leader of Opposition with a shadow cabinet. Stakeholders stressed that the office should be provided with adequate financial and technical support to enable it to effectively discharge its role of holding the government to account. With regard to the representation, the task force, reflecting the views of Kenyans and the constitutional principle requiring fair representation and equality of the vote, noted that whatever form reforms the representation take, they should accord with the following principles if Kenyans are to be fairly and equally represented. That the people's choice, as reflected in the election of their representatives, including party primaries and nominations, shall be upheld through fair, free, and transparent elections. This principle should be provided for in the Political Parties Act. that there shall be equalization of representation and equality of citizenship as much as possible by ensuring that each Kenyan vote has the same status and power as envisaged in the Constitution. Parties should be compelled through the Political Parties Act to be consistent with the Constitution to meet the gender rule and other constitutional measures of inclusion through their party lists. This will equalize both genders in political terms rather than creating a parallel system that creates a sense of tokenism. Party lists for members of county assemblies shall follow the same principles and processes of public participation, elections, and vetting as a National Assembly. This way, people and parties can ensure that there is accountability in a direct manner. The existing constituencies will be saved, including the protected seats, because they have become key for representation of sparsely populated areas. The nomination lists through parties should be completed in a transparent process governed by the political parties, overseen by the Registrar of Political Parties and the IEBC. During validation, stakeholders cited the first-past-the-post system as a leading cause of the highly divisive elections, and robust discussions were held regarding various submissions in favour of a proportional representation system. There were, however, mixed views among experts responding to the BBI report and to stakeholder views on whether to A, sustain the status quo, or B, adopt a pure proportional representation system, or C, adopt a mixed member proportional representation system for election of MPs in National Assembly that will also replace the current nominated seats while taking into account the two-thirds gender rule and the constitutional requirement that electoral boundaries should progressively work towards ensuring that the number of inhabitants in each constituency and ward as nearly as possible equal to the population quota, or D, adopt a multi-member constituency model, or adopt this model in the alternate systems to equalize the representation of high population constituencies. In the mixed member population representation system, political parties participating in the general election prepare a closed list of candidates, which forms the basis for the distribution of the proportional seats that are determined by the IEBC to be proportional to the votes that the party has garnered at the general election. This list factors in the current special interest groups that would replace the current nominated seats. In the pure proportional representation system, the general vote cast shall be distributed proportionally. In this system, political parties make lists of candidates to be elected, and the seats are distributed in proportion to the number of votes secured by such a political party in the election. Any political party participating in the election under the pure proportional system shall prepare a closed list of candidates contesting on behalf of such a party for such election, ensuring the proportional representation of marginalized and special interest groups to replace the current system of nominated seats. The steering committee heard that in the proportional representation system, IEBC and ORPP would ensure party lists sufficient representation of women through a zebra list to achieve the two-thirds gender rule in the National Assembly, or a purple zebra list to include representation of young people and other special interest groups. Implementing multi-member constituencies allows Kenyans to retain constituencies which they are attached to and a direct link to their representatives. It is noteworthy that elected officials with a geographic base retain greater influence than their nominated counterparts. For the sake of equality of representation, it may be best that every elected official be attached to a specific area, thus the appeal of the multi-member constituencies. What all stakeholders and experts held in common was the need for a change in the way Kenya structures and implements representation if Kenya is to be cohesive and politically stable. Representations were made that Kenyans continue to be deeply attached to their constituencies, with the pure proportional system threatening to undermine this attachment. On issues of electoral reform and the management of elections, most stakeholders agreed that there is a need to entrench in the constitution and electoral laws some of the principles that have emerged from court decisions in election petitions. Further, there was a general agreement that the IEBC would be restructured to enhance its effectiveness and accountability, as well as to restore public confidence. On recruitment of commissioners to fill vacancies at IEBC, some Kenyans said that the Constitution and IEBC Act should be amended to allow parliamentary political parties and coalitions to nominate commissioners while others said that the current expert panel model should be expanded to include members of parliament representing parliamentary political parties and coalitions or political parties' liaison committees. Stakeholders demanded that the commission should review its operational and administrative systems to ensure, among other things, transparency in hiring, timely and transparent procurement of election materials, and the security and integrity of electoral management systems, Kenya Integrated Elections Management Systems. The steering committee also received a large number of submissions on the need to increase the participation of women in the electoral process. It was submitted that women face significant hurdles in achieving gender parity in elective positions. Stakeholders urged IEBC to ensure strict enforcement of the code of conduct for candidates and parties contesting in elections with regard to the gender-based discrimination and violence. According to some sections of Kenyans, IEBC should lower nomination fees, which limit the effective and meaningful participation of marginalized groups in the exercise of their constitutional political rights. Stakeholders also emphasised the Office of the Registrar of Political Parties has a key role to play in promoting women's political participation by enforcing compliance with the Political Parties Act, which requires political parties to set aside 30% of funds from the Political Parties Fund for promotion of the representation of women and other special interest groups in Parliament and the County Assemblies. Other key recommendations include the need for the review of campaign financing laws to regulate the amount and sources of funds to be used during elections and introduce recall clauses to instill party discipline. Shared prosperity. The task force noted the single most important matter facing Kenyans when it comes to shared prosperity is generating sufficient jobs and employment, particularly for young people. During the validation, Kenyans affirmed their frustration with the lack of sufficient and meaningful job opportunities and felt that much needed to be done to grow those sectors of the economy that would lead to high employment, such as manufacturing industries, and to open up our borders for import and export so as to increase the volume of business activities and thereby create jobs and sustain livelihoods. As a first step to address their concerns, stakeholders supported the BBI Task Force's proposals for a change in the economic paradigm. They called for a long-term economic development plan in which industrialization is aggressively and consistently encouraged and promoted. They also called out for increased social protection for those who may be left behind or are vulnerable as private enterprise grows. There were also representations on the need to balance economic growth with sustainable use of environmental resources. Kenyans expressed concern regarding insufficient efforts by government to promote and develop small business owners in the country to enhance self-employment. In particular, they expressed concerns about the lack of coordination among various government agencies tasked with supporting businesses, particularly small and medium-sized enterprises. To address these challenges, Kenyans recommended the following specific measures. Reducing the cost of doing business and impediments to starting enterprises, awarding at least 7 years tax holiday for youth-owned businesses, legally recognizing the Home Office as a place of business, creation and promotion of business incubation and industrial parks for small-scale business innovators and business owners, developing and promoting a culture of saving and investment among Kenyans, increasing lending to small-scale businesses, ensuring that 30% of opportunities in the counties and wards are reserved for youth, women, persons with disabilities and minorities to support SMEs, affordable and reliable access to digital platforms in the wards and villages to promote e-commerce at grassroots levels. Stakeholders further expressed their dissatisfaction with the level of government support in reviving and growing grassroots agricultural, industrial and livestock sectors and businesses necessary for poverty eradication and spurring economic growth. For this reason, they welcomed the BBI Task Force's proposal to build the economy from the grassroots and undertaking the development activities in every county at the ward level that address their specific products, which they said would be enhanced through reviving the various agricultural subsectors, promoting commercial livestock farming, and supporting and promoting the growth of cottage industries. During validation, Kenyans called for a tax policy that looks at taxation as an incentive to production and consumption rather than the disincentive it is presently. They believe that they are overtaxed and at times taxed twice because of poor conditions between the two levels of government. In addition, many Kenyans feel that the burden of paying taxes is not shared fairly, since many eligible taxpayers are not paying their taxes. For this reason, they concurred with the following BBI task force recommendations. A, broadening the tax base. B, ensuring that tax revenues are directed towards development outcomes that benefits the taxpayers. C, simplifying taxation and avoiding overtaxation. D, reducing the number of permits. E, eliminating double taxation and regulation at the national and county levels. F, developing a policy that attracts the augments remittance from Kenyan diaspora. G, proper and coordinated land use planning throughout the country. Stakeholders also pushed for an economy with the means to enable the country to be able to offer the kind of social and economic protections and support referred to in Article 43 of the Constitution. They also commented on the right to education for all Kenyans, specifically among the marginalized communities in ASALT, to which they recommended that the National Council of Nomadic Education in Kenya be given body corporate status with autonomous funding from the Ministry of Education to spearhead the implementation of school meals, nutrition, low-cost boarding schools, sanitation towels for girls, adult and continuing education, ICT education in remote learning, and alternative provision of basic education. Stakeholders felt that while some commendable progress had been made, the government was not doing enough to promote and implement technical vocational educational training, TVET, and science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, education among young people, which they strongly believe will be the key to Kenya's quest for industrial growth. They submitted that more effort was needed for the promotion of this area, including revising the curriculum to focus on technical subjects from early stages as an important first step to nurture and open opportunities for children and youth to show their initiative, innovation, and entrepreneurship. In addition, they emphasized the need to formulate a policy framework for harnessing, promoting, and marketing the creative potential of young people in sports, music, dance, arts, ITC, and other creative industries generally. The BBI Task Force reports findings and recommendations regarding intergenerational equity and, in particular, sustainable national management were broadly supported. In addition, Kenyans called for specific legislative measures to properly regulate betting and loan apps, which are driving up indebtedness of poor Kenyans to destructive effect with their excessive interest rates and borrowing from multiple platforms. Many took the view that the private betting should be outlawed and replaced with a government-run national lottery that uses betting proceeds to uplift the youth. As regards security and certainty of land rights, the committee received numerous complaints regarding fraudulent land dealings all over the country, which threatened to totally undermine the integrity of the country's land registration system. The committee was informed that the Court of Appeal had on the 7th of June 2019 delivered a judgment with potential consequences on all disputed parcels of land in the country that are colloquially known as grabbed plots. In the said decision, reported as Elizabeth Wamboi Githenji and 29 others versus the Kenyan Urban Roads Authority and four others, a majority opinion of the court stated that, one, titles to land issued by government to individuals who purchased the land in good faith and with no knowledge of participation in any illegality or fraud that may have sullied the integrity of the titles are nevertheless entitled to protection under the provisions of Section 23 of the Registration of Titles Act, now repealed, and Section 143 of the Registrations Land Act, also now repealed. Secondly, Kenyans should now face the monster of land grabbing vis-a-vis indefeasibility of title by looking into the circumstances of each case and naming and shaming the land grabbers, but not bona fide purchases for value without notice. Thirdly, in such matters, the questions to be decided in order for property owner to enjoy protection of the land is whether they were bona fide purchases for valuable consideration and without notice of the competing government's claim to the title of the property. Number four, the law has never intended to punish the innocent, as to punish the innocent would break down all trust and respect for the law and the legal system. Number five, ordinarily and in law, by the force of Section 31 of the Registered Land Act, now repealed, it is sufficient for a purchaser of land to conduct an official search at the lands registry only to ascertain the registered owner, transferor. Number six, The government, as the keeper of the master of all land in Kenya and their owners, guaranteed indivisibility of all rights and interests shown in the land register against the entire world. And in case of loss arising from an error in registration, the government guarantees the person affected of compensation. Number 7, the statutory presumption of indivisibility and conclusiveness of title based on the register can be rebutted only by proof of fraud or misrepresentation, which the buyer is himself shown to have been involved. Number 8, the only reason why the law requires keeping of land records is to inform to the whole world the status of the property. The descending judgment in the said case, however, held that, firstly, land that is compulsorily acquired for public purposes cannot subsequently be diverted to serve private needs. If property is ostensibly acquired for public purpose, it must remain public land. Secondly, there can be no prescriptive rights over government land. Thirdly, there is conflicting jurisprudence on indivisibility of title from Court of Appeal. Number 4, it also held the government cannot reacquire and recompensate the same landowner twice over, the more so the land it already owns. Hello and welcome to my podcast. It's Voiceover Matters with Njeri Thorne, usually a weekly podcast looking at all things Kenyans in terms of politics, people, places, policies, and even pirates. But over the next few days, in the backdrop of the release of the BBI report, or the validation of the BBI report and the implementation of the BBI report, I will be actually reading verbatim the BBI report, all 204 pages. Of course, it's a very important document. It's a turning point for us Kenyans. We have an opportunity to fine-tune not just our constitution, but other policies and other legislation to ensure that we have a united Kenya, a prosperous Kenya for everybody. It's a document, as I say, 204 pages. I suspect that most of us won't read all of it, and this is why I've taken it upon myself to go through the laborious process of not only reading it, but recording it for all of you. Ideally, I would want you to listen to every episode because very soon our media houses will be hijacking this very document and bringing onto the studios politicians whom will have their own agendas. So they will be picking and cherry picking parts of the BBI document and recommendations to suit their agenda. So those who are against the BBI document or the BBI process, you'll find that they probably pick on the contentious points, focus on those and frame them so that the majority of the audience would be convinced that perhaps the BBI is not the way to go. And then, of course, you'll find the proponents of the BBI, perhaps those who were for the handshake, would pick aspects of the BBI recommendations that would amplify and would illustrate how beneficial it would be. So ideally, what we want to do is make sure that everybody or most of us watching or listening to these debates actually have the full picture, and they're not just looking at a frame that has been cherry-picked in order to push a certain agenda. So here we go. I'll just continue from where we left off. And its divisive elections. In the task force report, it was noted that in our rush to adopt and even mimic foreign models, particularly from the democratic West, we have forged a politics that is a contest of us versus them. And we have chosen our us and them on an ethnic basis, especially in competing for the presidency, which is the highest office in Kenyan politics. Lack of inclusivity is the leading contributor to divisive and conflict-causing elections. Kenyans associate the winner-take-all system with the divisive elections and want to end it. Stakeholders engaging with the steering committee affirmed these findings and reiterated that Kenya is yet to attain consistent and satisfactory levels of electoral tranquility. With few exceptions, many elections in the recent past have been bitterly contested, divisive, violent, and generally destructive. Submissions received by the steering committee confirmed the widely held view that divisive elections emerge because of the cutthroat competition for the presidency and other elective political seats. Rather than retain the current presidential system, a majority of Kenyans supported the adoption of a hybrid between the presidential and parliamentary systems. They supported the BBI report's recommendation for a national executive comprising a president, a deputy president, and prime minister. They also spoke up for the adding of two deputy prime ministers. Stakeholders submitted that the new executive structure would be more inclusive, will not generate the same bitterness and tension as we see in the fight for the position of the president. Agreeing with the BBI report's recommendation that the president appoint an MP from the largest party or coalition in the National Assembly after being approved by Parliament to be prime minister. They also wanted the roles and functions of prime minister to be clearly defined so as not to create two conflicting centres of power similar to the power-sharing model of the 2008 coalition government. Apart from the creation of the prime minister post, Kenyans supported the establishment of the Office of Leader of Opposition with a shadow cabinet. Stakeholders stressed that the office should be provided with adequate financial and technical support to enable it to effectively discharge its role of holding the government to account. With regard to the representation, the task force, reflecting the views of Kenyans and the constitutional principle requiring fair representation and equality of the vote, noted that whatever form reforms the representation take, they should accord with the following principles if Kenyans are to be fairly and equally represented. That the people's choice, as reflected in the election of their representatives, including party primaries and nominations, shall be upheld through fair, free, and transparent elections. This principle should be provided for in the Political Parties Act. That there shall be equalization of representation and equality of citizenship as much as possible by ensuring that each Kenyan vote has the same status and power as envisaged in the Constitution. Parties should be compelled through the Political Parties Act to be consistent with the Constitution to meet the gender rule and other constitutional measures of inclusion through their party lists. This will equalize both genders in political terms rather than creating a parallel system that creates a sense of tokenism. Party lists for members of county assemblies shall follow the same principles and processes of public participation, elections, and vetting as a National Assembly. This way, people and parties can ensure that there is accountability in a direct manner. The existing constituencies will be saved, including the protected seats, because they have become key for representation of sparsely populated areas. The nomination lists through parties should be completed in a transparent process governed by the political parties, overseen by the Registrar of Political Parties and the IEBC. During validation, stakeholders cited the first-past-the-post system as a leading cause of the highly divisive elections, and robust discussions were held regarding various submissions in favour of a proportional representation system. There were, however, mixed views among experts responding to the BBI report and to stakeholder views on whether to A. sustain the status quo, or B. adopt a pure proportional representation system, or C. adopt a mixed member proportional representation system for election of MPs in National Assembly that will also replace the current nominated seats while taking into account the two-thirds gender rule and the constitutional requirement that electoral boundaries should progressively work towards ensuring that the number of inhabitants in each constituency and ward as nearly as possible equal to the population quota, or D, adopt a multi-member constituency model or adopt this model in the alternate systems to equalize the representation of high population constituencies. In the mixed member population representation system, political parties participating in the general election prepare a closed list of candidates, which forms the basis for the distribution of the proportional seats that are determined by the IEBC to be proportional to the votes that the party has garnered at the general election. This list factors in the current special interest groups that would replace the current nominated seats. In the pure proportional representation system, the general vote cast shall be distributed proportionally In this system, political parties make lists of candidates to be elected, and the seats are distributed in proportion to the number of votes secured by such a political party in the election. Any political party participating in the election under the pure proportional system shall prepare a close list of candidates contesting on behalf of such a party for such election, ensuring the proportional representation of marginalized and special interest groups to replace the current system of nominated seats. The steering committee heard that in the proportional representation system, IEBC and ORPP would ensure party lists sufficient representation of women through a zebra list to achieve the two-thirds gender rule in the National Assembly, or a purple zebra list to include representation of young people and other special interest groups. Implementing multi-member constituencies allows Kenyans to retain constituencies which they are attached to and a direct link to their representatives. It is noteworthy that elected officials with a geographic base retain greater influence than their nominated counterparts. For the sake of equality of representation, it may be best that every elected official be attached to a specific area, thus the appeal of the multi-member constituencies. What all stakeholders and experts held in common was the need for a change in the way Kenya structures and implements representation if Kenya is to be cohesive and politically stable. Representations were made that Kenyans continue to be deeply attached to their constituencies, with the pure proportional system threatening to undermine this attachment. On issues of electoral reform and the management of elections, most stakeholders agreed that there is a need to entrench in the constitution and electoral laws some of the principles that have emerged from court decisions in election petitions. Further, there was a general agreement that the IEBC would be restructured to enhance its effectiveness and accountability, as well as to restore public confidence. On recruitment of commissioners to fill vacancies at IEBC, some Kenyans said that the Constitution and IEBC Act should be amended to allow parliamentary political parties and coalitions to nominate commissioners, while others said that the current expert panel model should be expanded to include members of parliament representing parliamentary political parties and coalitions or political parties liaison committees. Stakeholders demanded that the commission should review its operational and administrative systems to ensure, among other things, transparency in hiring, timely and transparent procurement of election materials, and the security and integrity of electoral management systems, Kenya Integrated Elections Management Systems. The steering committee also received a large number of submissions on the need to increase the participation of women in the electoral process. It was submitted that women face significant hurdles in achieving gender parity in elective positions. Stakeholders urged IEBC to ensure strict enforcement of the code of conduct for candidates and parties contesting in elections with regard to the gender-based discrimination and violence. According to some sections of Kenyans, IEBC should lower nomination fees, which limit the effective and meaningful participation of marginalized groups in the exercise of their constitutional political rights. Stakeholders also emphasized the Office of the Registrar of Political Parties has a key role to play in promoting women's political participation by enforcing compliance with the Political Parties Act, which requires political parties to set aside 30% of funds from the political parties fund for promotion of the representation of women and other special interest groups in parliament and the county assemblies. Other key recommendations include the need for the review of campaign financing laws to regulate the amount and sources of funds to be used during elections and introduce recall clauses to instill party discipline. Shared prosperity. The task force noted the single most important matter facing Kenyans when it comes to shared prosperity is generating sufficient jobs and employment, particularly for young people. During the validation, Kenyans affirmed their frustration with the lack of sufficient and meaningful job opportunities and felt that much needed to be done to grow those sectors of the economy that would lead to high employment, such as manufacturing industries, and to open up our borders for import and export so as to increase the volume of business activities and thereby create jobs and sustain livelihoods. As a first step to address their concerns, stakeholders supported the BBI Task Force's proposals for a change in the economic paradigm. They called for a long-term economic development plan in which industrialization is aggressively and consistently encouraged and promoted, They also called out for increased social protection for those who may be left behind or are vulnerable as private enterprise grows. There were also representations on the need to balance economic growth with sustainable use of environmental resources. Kenyans expressed concern regarding insufficient efforts by government to promote and develop small business owners in the country to enhance self-employment. In particular, they expressed concerns about the lack of coordination among various government agencies tasked with supporting businesses, particularly small and medium-sized enterprises. To address these challenges, Kenyans recommended the following specific measures. Reducing the cost of doing business and impediments to starting enterprises. Awarding at least 7 years tax holiday for youth-owned businesses. Legally recognizing the home office as a place of business. Creation and promotion of business incubation and industrial parks for small-scale business innovators and business owners. Developing and promoting a culture of saving and investment among Kenyans. Increasing lending to small-scale businesses. Ensuring that 30% of opportunities in the counties and wards are reserved for youth, women, persons with disabilities, and minorities to support SMEs. Affordable and reliable access to digital platforms in the wards and villages to promote e-commerce at grassroots levels. Stakeholders further expressed their dissatisfaction with the level of government support in reviving and growing grassroots agricultural, industrial, and livestock sectors and businesses necessary for poverty eradication and spurring economic growth. For this reason, they welcome the BBI Task Force's proposal to build the economy from the grassroots and undertaking the development activities in every county at the ward level that address their specific products, which they said would be enhanced through reviving the various agricultural subsectors, promoting commercial livestock farming, and supporting and promoting the growth of cottage industries. During validation, Kenyans called for a tax policy that looks at taxation as an incentive to production and consumption rather than the disincentive it is presently. They believe that they are overtaxed and at times taxed twice because of poor conditions between the two levels of government. In addition, many Kenyans feel that the burden of paying taxes is not shared fairly since many eligible taxpayers are not paying their taxes. For this reason, they concurred with the following BBI Task Force recommendations. A, broadening the tax base. B, ensuring that tax revenues are directed towards development outcomes that benefits the taxpayers. C, simplifying taxation and avoiding overtaxation. D, reducing the number of permits. E, eliminating double taxation and regulation at the national and county levels. F, developing a policy that attracts the augments remittance from Kenyan diaspora. G, proper and coordinated land use planning throughout the country. Stakeholders also pushed for an economy with the means to enable the country to be able to offer the kind of social and economic protections and support referred to in Article 43 of the Constitution. They also commented on the right to education for all Kenyans, specifically among the marginalized communities in ASALs, to which they recommended that the National Council of Nomadic Education in Kenya be given body corporate status with autonomous funding from the Ministry of Education to spearhead the implementation of school meals, nutrition, low-cost boarding schools, sanitation tiles for girls, adult and continuing education, ICT education in remote learning, and alternative provision of basic education. Stakeholders felt that while some commendable progress had been made, the government was not doing enough to promote and implement technical vocational educational training, TVET, and science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, education among young people, which they strongly believe will be the key to Kenya's quest for industrial growth. They submitted that more effort was needed for the promotion of this area, including revising the curriculum to focus on technical subjects from early stages as an important first step to nurture and open opportunities for children and youth to show their initiative, innovation, and entrepreneurship. In addition, they emphasized the need to formulate a policy framework for harnessing, promoting, and marketing the creative potential of young people in sports, music, dance, arts, ITC, and other creative industries generally. The BBI Task Force reports findings and recommendations regarding intergenerational equity and, in particular, sustainable national management were broadly supported. In addition, Kenyans called for specific legislative measures to properly regulate betting and loan apps, which are driving up indebtedness of poor Kenyans to destructive effect, with their excessive interest rates and borrowing from multiple platforms. Many took the view that the private betting should be outlawed and replaced with a government-run national lottery that uses betting proceeds to uplift the youth. As regards security and certainty of land rights, the committee received numerous complaints regarding fraudulent land dealings all over the country, which threatened to totally undermine the integrity of the country's land registration system. The committee was informed that the Court of Appeal had on the 7th of June 2019 delivered a judgment with potential consequences on all disputed parcels of land in the country that are colloquially known as grabbed plots. In the said decision, reported as Elizabeth Wamboige Thenji and 29 others versus the Kenyan Urban Roads Authority and four others, a majority opinion of the court stated that, one, titles to land issued by government to individuals who purchased the land in good faith and with no knowledge of participation in any illegality or fraud that may have sullied the integrity of the titles are nevertheless entitled to protection under the provisions of Section 23 of the Registration of Titles Act, now repealed, and Section 143 of the Registrations Land Act, also now repealed. Secondly, Kenyans should now face the monster of land grabbing vis-a-vis indefeasibility of title by looking into the circumstances of each case and naming and shaming the land grabbers, but not bona fide purchases for value without notice. Thirdly, in such matters, the questions to be decided in order for a property owner to enjoy protection of the land is whether they were bona fide purchases for valuable consideration and without notice of the competing government's claim to the title of the property. Number four, the law has never intended to punish the innocent, as to punish the innocent would break down all trust and respect for the law and the legal system. Number five, ordinarily and in law, by the force of Section 31 of the Registered Land Act, now repealed, it is sufficient for a purchaser of land to conduct an official search at the lands registry only to ascertain the registered owner, transferor. Number six, the government, as the keeper of the master of all land in Kenya and their owners, guarantees indivisibility of all rights and interests shown in the land register against the entire world. And in case of loss arising from an error in registration, the government guarantees the person affected of compensation. Number seven, the statutory presumption of indivisibility and conclusiveness of title based on the register can be rebutted only by proof of fraud or misrepresentation, which the buyer is himself shown to have been involved. Number eight, the only reason why the law requires keeping of land records is to inform to the whole world the status of the property. The descending judgment in the said case, however, held that, firstly, land that is compulsorily acquired for public purposes cannot subsequently be diverted to serve private needs. If property is ostensibly acquired for public purpose, it must remain public land. Secondly, there can be no prescriptive rights over government land. Thirdly, there is conflicting jurisprudence on indivisibility of title from Court of Appeal. Number four, it also held the government cannot reacquire and recompensate the same landowner twice over, the more so the land it already owns.